All right, so let's open with a word of prayer.
Father, as we always do, we begin our lesson by just quieting our spirits, directing our mind and our heart and our whole being toward your very throne, where you are seated this morning. You are ruling, you are reigning, you are sovereign over not only the whole world, but our lives. You're so big, and yet you're so personal. And your word tells us that you care for us. And so, Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word this morning, for the blessing of studying together every week. We just pray this morning, Father, that you will speak very personally to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're back in our study on our book, Virtuous. And let's just start by defining virtuous. It's a big old-fashioned word. It just means a state of being full of virtues. That's what we want. We want to be women who are just full of all these different virtues that we've been studying these last few weeks. It means having high moral standards, being excellent in everything. And we've been taking the virtues individually, one by one, singling them out. But you know what? If you took them all and you added them all together, put them all together, that equals virtuous. And we said last week that a virtuous woman is really like a beautiful cut diamond that has all of these different facets to it. And each virtue that we've been examining is really like that diamond. It's like one facet of a diamond. And when you put them all together, that jewel sparkles and that jewel shines with brilliance. So today we're going to talk about the virtue of modesty, and I'm so glad you're here today as we open God's Word. Because God's Word has so much to say to women. And I want us to go to 1 Timothy 2 this morning for our thoughts as we're studying. And this book was written by Paul, and it was written to his son in the faith, Timothy. And Timothy was at that time in Ephesus. And he was letting Timothy deal with problems that were going on in the church there. Some of the issues that they were dealing with in the church related to women. And, you know, that's just the way it is in church life, isn't it? We have issues, we have problems that we have to deal with. And the Bible speaks to that. And so I want us to start in 1 Timothy 5, verse 2, and Paul is telling Timothy here, now Timothy, I want you to make an appeal. And he's going to appeal to, look at it on your handout in verse 2, the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters in all purity. This was just a reminder that women are to maintain purity. Now that was our last week's lesson, wasn't it? On purity. And our lesson this week is going to go right along with that subject. It was an issue that Paul was dealing with in the church. Now, the very fact that he is appealing to the women in the church, he's making a reminder to the women in the church to maintain purity, indicates that most likely there was a problem in the church with some women in maintaining purity. Now, that's not a problem today, right? This is where you laugh. So this is a letter that's set aside to set the church in proper order. And, you know, as we're studying it this morning, we certainly want our church in Brookhaven to have the proper order because, as we saw last week, evangelism is at stake. That's what's on the line. Because the world is watching us. They know we've taken a stand for Christ. And they're watching us to see if the gospel is for real, as you and I are living out our lives here before the watching world. And they're asking the question, is the gospel, is it really powerful enough to change a life? And we find that the way we live our lives really, really does matter. Now, another issue that they were having was in their matter of their worship services. And some of the women were really seeing the worship service as a way, an opportunity to kind of flaunt themselves and their beauty and their wardrobe. And so that was a real problem. They were distracting others in the worship service from focusing on God by drawing attention to themselves. And Paul is going to deal with this matter of women. And Paul takes us right into this whole matter of the role of the woman within the context of the worship service. Now, he's going to speak to the men first, and I want you to notice what he says to the men in verse 8. Let's look at that verse. He's telling them, now look, you're going to do your praying publicly, and you need to do it with holy hands. That means you've got a clean life as you're praying. And notice there too in verse 8, he says, and do it without anger, without malice, without dissension. And in other words, make your praying with a pure heart. And so the life and the heart of the men were the issue in verse 8. And then in verse 9, he's going to speak to the women and their issue. Let's look at verse 9 together. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Now, with verse 9, a problem with women that is actually very common comes to light. And it was a problem in the church there. And guess what? It's, you know, that's 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Women haven't really changed. We're still the same. And so he's going to deal with this problem, and it has to do with our outward appearance. Now admit it. You got up this morning, and what did you think? What am I going to wear? Was that on your mind? And you went to your closet, and you looked, wore that last week. Wore that week and a half ago. And then you went in the bathroom, and you looked at your hair. And you thought, ooh, I got to do something with this hair. And then you thought, what shoes am I going to wear, and what earrings, and what jewelry? I mean, it just goes with the territory of being a woman, right? It's so easy being a man. I mean, boys just have to have shorts and T-shirts, and women have to have accessories. I know whenever I'm going somewhere with a group of women, or my sisters, you know what the first question is? What are you going to wear? What are you going to wear? And the truth is, we've been shopping together so many times, and we always buy the same thing. And they'll say, don't wear that, because I'm wearing that. You know, so many times we show up, and we all have on the same thing. So that's just part of being a woman. And then when you get together with your friends, you're talking about the sales. Oh, you've got to go down to Castles. By the way, Castles 75% off. Is pretty quick. Or we're talking about our hair. Now, can I just tell you, I have no idea what my natural color is. I really don't. I haven't seen it in years. I have no idea. And then, oh, I like how you got your hair cut. Oh, I like you fixed your hair. So cute. I mean, that's just part of womanhood. Now, go back to verse 8. I want to pull a word out. I'm going to pull out the word adorn. Paul says, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. All right, now that word adorn in the Greek, we get our word cosmetic from that word, cosmetic. So write that on your handout. It's talking about the way you are getting ready. You're preparing yourself. Let's write this down. It means basically to arrange. That's the first word. You've got to arrange your hair. You've got to arrange all your clothes. It means to put in order. And it means to make ready. To make ready. And so when we come to church, I mean, you got to get out your cosmetics, right? And then you've got to arrange and put in order and make ready. If you could have seen me when I got out of the bed this morning, it was not pretty. Let me just tell you. It took a lot of time. I mean, it means, write this down. Not only your clothing, but there's something else it means. It means your attitude and your action. Your attitude and your action. So here's the idea. Here's the idea of you're going to adorn yourself. The idea is a total preparation. A total preparation. When I come to church to worship, it's going to be that I want to adorn myself. Now listen, I want to adorn myself on the outside, right? That's important. But I also want to adorn myself on the inside. So write that on your handout, the inside and the outside. Did I put that down there? Let's talk first about the outside adornment. Now, I wouldn't want to come to worship in any old way in disorder, would I? I wouldn't want to walk in with my big house shoes on and my PJs and curlers in my hair and all of those things. I wouldn't want to do that. But also, we don't want to come in another way, and Paul's going to get very specific here. We don't want to come, excuse me, in an extravagant way either. Because if I walked in here in an extravagant way, that would be drawing attention away from the focus of worship onto myself. Now, that's what was going on here in this church. Let me give you a little idea of what the culture was like when this was written. Women were very preoccupied with their appearance, and they came to church with all these elaborate displays of clothing. In fact, records say that some of the women who were wealthy, they might wear something that would cost a whole year's salary for a normal worker. That would be very distracting. And they were putting themselves on display. And they would have these extravagant hairdos. And so when they walked into the worship, they were making a statement. And the statement said this, I'm here, I'm here. All eyes on me. I'm here to attract your attention. I don't want you to miss me. And so here in this church, you know women have the power to do this, right? Sitting right in the middle of the corrupt world, and the world's goal being to give a testimony of godliness to the world, these women, who were to be the very pictures of godliness, they came in and they were actually only wanting to draw attention to themselves. Yay! Oh, thank the Lord. We're so happy. Come on in, Lisa. Yay. Whew, everybody breathe a sigh of relief for Lisa. Lisa. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Bless your heart. We're glad you're here. We're saving you children. Yay. Oh, goodness. And so, where was I?
The Lord's good.
He is. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. Paul says, no, no, this is wrong. We're coming to worship, And we want to put our attention on Him and His glory and His beauty and His majesty. And so this is a trap that they were dealing with. And there's nothing new under the sun. We can have the very same problem here in our church. If we're going to have this preoccupation with our outward adornment. That's just a tendency for women, right? We think about these things. There's a delicate balance here of how much attention we're to give to the outside. But there's a very fine line for godly women. We want to be properly dressed. We want to demonstrate grace and the beauty of womanhood. I love being a woman, don't you? I mean, poor men, they just have to get up and go with it. They can't beautify like we do. We want, as women, wives, to show our love for our own husbands in the way we dress and our submission to him. And yet, to avoid being the center of attention that causes people to turn their thoughts away from God. Now, Paul's going to get very, very practical. And first of all, he's going to talk about their hair. So let's look at it here. He says there, don't wear that braided hair. This is what was happening. They would have long hair. They would put it in these elaborate braids, pile it up. Teresa, is braiding your hair a sin? No. No, that's not what Paul is saying. That's not what his intention is here. But they had such elaborate hairdos, they would pile it up huge, and they would put their gold, their silver, their pearls, their jewelry. They would have these big combs and things like that, and they would stack it all up on their heads, and they would have a fortune on display in their hair. And it was just over the top. And then not only that, they put gold on their fingers, on their ears, on their sandals, all over their dresses. There was nothing wrong with a nice hairdo. There's nothing wrong with wearing jewelry. It's just that when that becomes the focus of your attention, with your intent being, I want everybody to look at me and what I've got on, you have violated the spirit of worship. And so they were all about flaunting their wealth and their beauty. But here is the point that I want you to see. A godly woman wants to attract attention to her character, not to her clothing. Did I put that on your handout? I was reading in Proverbs this week, and I came across a proverb that's just so perfect for our lesson this morning. It's out of chapter 11, verse 22. It says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. That's a good picture. You see, a godly woman wants to portray through her dress that she has a heart that is committed to worshiping the living God. Now, Teresa, does that mean we need to have dress checkers appointed at the door? Too short? Too tight? Too revealing? Too this? Too that? No, that's not what it's saying. He's just appealing to us to ask questions of ourselves. Am I dressing this way because I want to draw attention to God, or am I trying to draw attention to myself? Now, we looked at 1 Peter 3 last week. It carries the same idea. Look at it on your handout. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. It's speaking of the adornment of women. And he says there, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. That's your insight. I love that. A gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious. This isn't forbidding the wearing of pearls or of gold. What he means is, let that not be what you're preoccupied with in your adornment. Put on your clothes. Wear your jewelry. But do it modestly. Do it in humility. Do it with discretion. Fix your hair in such a way that it's not going to be distracting. Now, some people go to the other extreme. They have an anti-beauty approach. And I think the other extreme may be just as distracting as the other. You see what I'm saying? I can take such a bad anti-beauty approach that I don't even look like a woman, and that will distract just as much as if I am over-the-top extravagant. But here's the point. The woman's adornment is to be that she has adorned herself with a beautiful heart. She's a woman who comes to worship God. Her heart is dictating her wardrobe, and it reflects a gentle and a quiet heart. So Peter and Paul are talking to Christian women to let their adornment exalt the Lord, especially when you come to church to worship. It should be our godly character that is beautifying us, that is the most attractive thing about us. So I guess what I'm saying is your adornment really should come from the inside out. Now go back to verse 9 and on page 1 there out of 1 Timothy 2. And look, let's pull out that word discreetly. Women are to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. That's an interesting word in the Greek. It's a word that is only used here in the Bible, and it has a marvelous meaning. Let's write down some things about that word. It means you're going to dress with modesty mixed with humility. So write that down. See, as I'm dressing myself, I'm thinking of others. I'm thinking of others. And listen, here's another thing about it. It has at its heart, this word does, the sense of shame. So put that down. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying that you need to be ashamed that you're a woman, or ashamed of your clothes, or ashamed of your hair. Listen to what it means. It means this, that I'm ashamed if I, in any way, would ever distract anyone from a proper worship of God by dressing immodestly or inappropriately. It's a humility that causes me to think of others and to dress in such a way as not to be alluring or the source of temptation. I'm glad I'm not the mom of a teenage daughter in this generation. I feel for you moms. It's hard shopping. I love watching moms and daughters shop when I'm out. You know, they look just alike. But dressing your daughter modestly in this pornographic world is quite a challenge. Let's go back to the word. It's a word, this word discreetly, that carries in it the innate idea of morally rejecting anything that is dishonorable to God. One translator of this word suggests that the word implies, and I put this on your handout, something as strong as grief over the sense of sin. It's that a woman would be grieved because she's so sensitive to sin, so hating sin that offends God, that she would never come close to doing anything that would generate in another person's mind any kind of sinful attitude. This has no desire to flaunt sexuality, no desire to go beyond what is honorable and pure and modest and proper before God. And when you and I come together to worship and fellowship together, everything we do should be aimed at drawing our hearts toward God. Now, there's a place for a woman to look graceful and lovely and gracious, and let's enjoy the beauty of being the fairer sex, and let's use makeup in a way that enhances our beauty. This is not saying don't wear makeup. Don't fix your hair. Be down. But there's a limit. There's a balance. And it comes from the right heart. I look out at this room. I was thinking about y'all. It's fun being a woman, but it's really fun being a Southern woman. You know, even in other parts of Mississippi, girls don't dress as pretty as the girls in Brookhaven. There's something about Brookhaven women. Do y'all agree with me? They dress beautifully. You go to Pine Lake, they've got on t-shirts and they've got on jeans. You come here, women are dressed. I like that. That's not to say t-shirts is bad, but I mean, we kind of have our own little thing going here in Brookhaven. And I look out at this group of women, y'all are beautiful. You are. You're modest, you're sensitive, you've got grace. I see a meek and a gentle spirit, and that is precious to God. So let's come to the bottom line of our lesson. And let's write it this way on our handout. On the outside, we are to adorn ourselves with a meek and gentle heart. No, that's the inside, I'm sorry. Did I do the inside first or the outside?
Outside.
All right, on the outside, we want to adorn ourselves with clothing and accessories that reflect modesty, okay? And on the inside, we want to adorn ourselves with a meek and gentle spirit or a heart. And then there's one more thing that we need to talk about that we want to adorn ourselves with. This was a new thought to me as I was studying my lesson and preparing to teach. I knew the gentle and the quiet spirit, and I've always loved that verse. But Timothy brings out another idea for women, another thing we're to adorn ourselves with. Let's write it down. It's good works. It's good works. So Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 that it's essential for women who dress and profess godliness to support that profession with their conduct. Look at verse 10 on your front page of your handout. She is to be adorned with good works, then he adds, which is fitting women professing godliness. Godliness. You see, the testimony of a woman professing godliness should be that she exhibits a life of good works. He's telling us to get our priorities straight. It's not just all about the outside. It's not just all about you spending your time on Pinterest, worrying about the wardrobe and the hair and all of the things that... Don't spend all of your time on that. Spend some of your time on that. Yes. But you should spend more of your time on good works, because good works are prettier anyway. They please God more. Now, I like how Nancy closes this chapter. I'm going to give you a quote. She says, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to confess that we often want people to notice our clothes more than our good works. But the truth is, the heart of modesty is all about clothing itself in a life of good works. So when you go to your closet tomorrow, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, yes, what am I going to wear, but then on the very other hand, think about what good works am I going to walk in today? Turns out that when you dress modestly, you will turn your attention to good works, and then you grow even more beautiful. Now, I think about our class. I think about all the good works that are generated in this class. Too many to name. If I start naming them, I'm going to leave someone out. But just even this morning, Lisa coming up here, I told her she's going to be a good illustration for my Sunday school lesson. You know what? Her heart is thinking, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? There's something I can do. And so as she's dressing herself, her mind is thinking about a good work. That's what we're talking about here. It's walking out before a watching world a life of modesty and a life of serving the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And you're looking for ways. You're just looking for outlets for you to be able to walk in those good works. That's what being virtuous is all about. Being pure, being excellent. It's going to come out in how you dress yourself, how you conduct yourself. This is what we need to be teaching our daughters. It's not an easy teach because they're so influenced by peer pressure. Band together with other moms. This would be a great study to do with your teenage daughters, right? And then walk in good works. I challenge you next week to adorn yourself with good works. And when you get up in the morning, you're asking yourself, what good work will I walk in today? And when you get into bed at night, you say, what did I do today, Lord, that was honoring to you? Now let's get in our small groups and talk about our homework. We've got a few minutes. I'll come back up and close us with prayer. Let's pray, ladies. Our Father, thank you for our time together this morning in the Word. I thank you, Father, for the worship service that we're going to. I pray that you will use that service to bring glory to you. I pray especially for Chris as he shares about he and Leah's life in Dubai. I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts to love and to pray and to support them. And we just pray now that you will just help us, Father, to have that balance of adorning our lives with a gentle and a quiet spirit, with good works, and doing it all with an attractive, beautiful outside, but with the love of the Lord on our face. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.